It's the WP Minute Plus, your home for long-form discussions with WordPress professionals and industry experts covering our favorite topic, WordPress. Be sure to follow us. Search for WP Minute in your favorite podcast app. Follow this podcast and our 5-minute weekly edition. Or head to the WPMinute.com/subscribe and join the newsletter. I'm told it's like a warm WordPress blanket that gets delivered to your doorstep every week. Looking for all things WordPress? The WP Minute has you covered. Hey, Jonathan, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Matt. I've been looking forward to this chat.
WP Tonic, that's where you're famously, infamously known from. But you do other podcasts, right? You have multiple shows you've been running for quite some time.
Yeah, I do two others. About a year ago, I started the Membership Machine show, which is doing quite well. I think it's getting the audience is going up. And I've got another company that is called mail-write.com. And I do the Mail Write show with another co-host, Robert Newman. And I've been doing that for about 4 years. And that's aimed at real estate agents. A slightly different audience to my beloved WordPress community.
We're going to talk a lot today about WordPress media, creating media in general, how you get so many co-hosts. You and Bob get so many co-hosts. How do you do it? I can't get anyone to co-host with me.
Well, I'll be a co-host. I'll hold your hand, Matt. Don't worry. I'll walk you across the street.
We'll keep that lead for later into the show. But you've been. I want to focus on. Let's just chat about your mail product. You've been doing that for years now, haven't you?
About 4 or 5 years. Yeah, Mail Write. Yeah.
And go ahead. Give me the concept of that product again. I think we talked about it on the Matt Report a few years ago, but give me the concept again and why should folks tune into that product?
Well, it's a Swiss Army knife. It's a kind of Kajabi for real estate agents. There's about a dozen, but there's about half a dozen of these products in the real estate sector. It's a CRM. It's a landing page. It will send off a series of email and text messages. You can set up campaigns. It has a social media calendar where you can schedule Twitter. Well, not Twitter, because they switched off the API, but Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest. And it's got a testimonial generative system, so you can get more reviews if you're a real estate agent, all built in one platform, all built in WordPress and React.
What's an easier customer to service, the real estate agents or the WordPress users trying to launch membership websites?
Oh, God. You're going to get me into trouble. They're different people, really. I think everybody's in a rush. Everybody's in a rush, and they don't really think. They spend a lot of time looking at YouTube videos and looking at about 15 different solutions and products, but they don't. It's really quite surprising in both camps that they still don't really understand what they're trying to achieve with right. All these products and services.
You think a lot of them, both camps, real estate agents, folks who are maybe starting membership sites for various reasons, whether that's a course, digital book, or some kind of organization. What do you think it is that they're missing? Like at the end of the day, are they both like, no, you just have to let me do your website stuff? And you focus on selling to your own customers. Like stop chasing the shiny widget kind of thing.
Well, it's really, I think it's that, but I think on the real estate, they really don't want to spend any money.
Right.
Even if there's a duality, a lot of agents, we've gone through a massive property boom, and we're on the tail end of what that leads to, probably. So they normally, and a lot of agents don't make a lot of money initially. And when they do start making money, they think, well, I don't need to spend any money on digital marketing. brokerages tend to have a more long-term view, and individual agents do. It's like everything, it's finding the right person that fits into your business outlook and the products that you're providing. Am I waffling there, or does that make any sense?
No, I'm really just trying to...
I'm the king of waffling, am I not, Matt?
Just trying to draw the parallels between a lot of us in the WordPress space for many years now, for servicing clients, even if you're brand new to being a WordPress freelancer or small boutique agency, trying to draw those parallels to real estate agents or other industries that have the same challenges that we might have if you're servicing a client, knocking on a client's door saying, hey, do you want a website for your accounting, your law firm, your restaurant? I mean, it's everyone everywhere starting off has this challenge of not wanting to spend any money, but also chasing the shiny widgets of, I got to do all the things. I got to do the social media, makes me feel good. I got to do TikTok and Instagram, makes me feel good. But they forget, like even us as business owners in the WordPress space, forget, got to make the money too. It's not just about chasing the shiny object. Get a platform like Jonathan's. It'll help you with your social media content and all this other stuff for real estate agents. But also remember, go out and make deals and learn how to grow your business, and don't just chase the shiny objects online. Like people are just going to fall into your lap, and all of a sudden you're going to be selling $1 million homes when you just got your license a year ago because rates were 2.9%.
Yeah, there's a lot of churn in that particular... We offer DIY, so it's basically, you do get a WordPress website, and we have templates, and it's based on Gutenberg now. It was Elementor, but I transferred to Gutenberg and Cadence, and we provide a half a dozen theme that they can adapt, or we got a product that will adapt it for just under $500, put their logo up, change the colors. And they can, and we offer IDX integration, so they get a really nice WordPress website. And then we got all these other parts. But really, unless they're going to invest a lot of money in SEO and content and evergreen content, and that will take 6 months to a year, and they need a strategy, and we can provide that, but we charge for that. We also got the paid advertisement; they can set up Facebook campaigns and set up a landing page in our system that will trigger with a lead magnet. We provide a library of lead magnets that's suitable for that industry, and then we'll trigger off a series of email and text messaging, or we can run the campaigns for them. And most that stay with us, either they use the system and then they get fed up with it, and then they're on to the next solution that will solve all their problems.
Yeah.
Or they've got enough budget and they just get us to do it for them.
Do you sort of take that same blueprint of service and deliverable for your membership product and service?
No, that's more that we got a lot of people that actually do it themselves, because I had to. We're not offering a WordPress as a SaaS, really, as we are with MailRite. It's a tricky thing when it comes to the membership. We offer a load of value because we set up all the email side of it as part of the hosting package. We don't provide the inbox side, but we provide the transactional and the marketing email, and we configure that so they don't have to do that. And then we've got a very sizable, we've chosen a library of what we think are the best WordPress plugin solutions, and I've bought all those licenses. I decided not to boot, just take them, which I legally could. I have bought all the lot, done deals with all the plugin, because I didn't want to burn to become a... It's not illegal, but I think it's a little bit iffy to do it. So I preferred to have bought all the licenses, and I've done good deals. And some of the plug-in people were very generous to me, and I owe them a couple of favours to a few people. And we give a load of advice and support because my little team, we're all in learning management systems and BuddyBoss. So we're building websites out. So we provide, there has to be a cutoff. What I mean is we are one of the few hosting providers that will update all the plugins as part. And it has to be self-reported. If there's a problem with an update with a plugin, the customer has to report it to us and then we will sort it out. Or they can go on a maintenance plan and then we'll set up a staging site and do the updates on the staging site. And most of the people, when they're starting off, they don't want the maintenance, but as soon as they start making money, they normally do sign up with a maintenance, but we don't force it on them.
How did that business evolve when you first started? Was it more hand-to-hand where you were designing one-off websites, implementing the plugins on their own hosting, and then you just decided, you know what, let me just make this a real hosting play, and now the customer can just spin up templated sites with me, and if they want me to customize it, we can for an additional fee. How did that evolve, that business?
It just kind of did, really, because it's a bit tricky, because I didn't want it to become what I've called, I've got nothing against the press as a service model, but I think it also is tricky because you can end up with what I call the worst of both worlds, because, you know, you do have the hosting, there is the updating of the plugins, there is a little bit more technical baggage. I think the SaaS competitors overplay that a little bit. It's become a lot better than it used to be if you use the right plugin combination. Because a lot of people, we have clients that come to us and they've got over 100 plugins on their website and they've got three versions of a SEO plugin or a security plugin, or they've got three caching plugins on the same, and they wonder why things aren't working very well. So we provide. So I didn't want it, but the problem with a totally WordPress as a service is you still have this technical, slight more baggage than a true SaaS solution. But you're also getting the worst side of a SaaS, i.e. the good thing to WordPress is flexibility, digital sovereignty, digital ownership. Now, I wouldn't want to build a business. I wouldn't want to build a house on somebody else's land. I certainly wouldn't want to build a business on somebody else's platform. I just don't, been there, done that, got my ass burnt. I don't really want to do that. And I don't think...
Is this a previous WordPress experience or something else?
Something else, yeah. We've all been there. No, I was in the UK. I had a reasonably large retail chain. I had about 5 units, only small, but it was doing quite well. And dealing with landlords and dealing with...
With somebody's literal, like building your business off somebody's literal sandbox, physical in the world, and now we're in virtual.
Yeah, well, I was always in negotiation with a commercial landlord.
Yeah.
And it's just a nightmare.
Yeah, they don't care.
Well, their purpose is to get as much revenue out of you. That's the end of the relationship, isn't it?
Yeah. Have you seen, I'm sure you've seen, you're probably going to be talking about this on your show if you haven't already recorded the recent roundtable, but the page builder plugin quickly shutting down. Mm. There's also the opposite side, right, of that argument is, you know, customers in the WordPress space that are either freelancers and agencies who are just, hey, give me the next thing, give me the greatest thing. Is this thing better, cheaper, faster? Give it to me. I'll start using it. And then, not saying this particularly happened with Quickly, but I'm sure there's some percentage of people that jumped on it. Like, okay, better, shinier tool, and now it's gone, right? There's that side of the WordPress world where customers buy these things from these people that they think are going to be longstanding companies. They look at a piece of software, they, oh, must be like Google, must be like Apple. They'll never go out of business. And then they just disappear because of whatever. I haven't seen any reasons for Quickly. Have you ever faced that, or do you have any thoughts on this quickly thing from that side of the house? These plugins just disappearing and now somebody else is left holding the bag?
Well, it's tricky, isn't it? But, you know, it's a lot of silence in this podcast, isn't it? Unusual for me. Well, you're asking me some tough questions, aren't you? I would never do that. I would never do that with my guests, ask them some tough questions, would I? It's just tricky because I think I personally, it's only my personal thing, I think what he publicly declared, I've never interviewed the gentleman and I don't really know him, but I've watched a few of his videos and it seems a really interesting product. I personally have not utilised it. I think the public reason is probably the tip of the iceberg. There's probably a lot of other reasons, but this publicly stated reason was the thing that tipped him to say, I've had enough of it. I'm off. Let's call it a day. I think it's like in our personal relationships, I think there's long-term problems in some of our personal relationships. And then there's the thing that triggered it, the breakup or the bust up, or in our professional partnerships, there's long-term problems that are not felt, can be honestly discussed. And then there's the public trigger that blows everything up, but it's not normally the real reason. And I'm only presuming that this is probably the case in this.
Yeah. I'll give you my thoughts, and I'm interested to hear your reaction to them. I think that the biggest issue is running a business is hard. Running a WordPress business is hard. And I think...
I'm doing reasonably okay, but it's taken me 12 years.
Right.
And I lost my hair. Yeah. I'm just thankful I'm still alive half the time. But I'm not flying off to WordPress Asia. I'm not there.
Yeah.
So I'm bitter about that.
We'll get to that. But I want... So running a business is hard. And I think that... In this day and age, which is kind of funny to say, in 2024, you would have thought this would have been a lesson learned a decade ago when you and I started getting into podcasting and started talking about all this stuff. People get hyped up. Hey, look at this person. They're running a business. It's a multimillion dollar business. Look at their mark. Like, look at them on social media. I can do that too. I can build this product. And when I build it, customers are going to come. And sadly, not the case. And you have to be in it for the long haul. You have to be diligent in not just building the product, but getting your name out there. Because the other half of this, I think, is not only is business hard, but marketing and promotion and getting people to care about your product in a algorithmically driven social media landscape is challenging. And a lot of folks who get into this game are developers first, not marketers, not sales folks, not promoters, don't know how to tell great stories. And yes, some of them are unicorns because they build an amazing product and it just blows up because it's an amazing product. But if you have an average product or even a great product, it's still hard to get that name out there and sprinkle on whatever public stress you have.
I think it's even more complicated than that. I'm not going to name names, but I know some WordPress solutions, plugins, they're awful, but they are highly successful.
But because probably their marketing and promotion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or it was the right solution. It was just a little bit better than all the other worst solutions.
Well, yeah.
You know, yeah, there's all, and luck. We don't like that comes to a lot of it, doesn't it?
I was looking at my old product. You probably remember when I launched the plugin Conductor, and
yeah, you know about this, yeah, don't you?
Not only did I get steamrolled, I invested in the customizer, and I was just looking at this the other day because somehow we had a companion plugin called Note. It's still there, wordpress.org/plugin/note, and that was the Gutenberg interface inside the customizer. Because
I bought it. You got my money, and I hold it against you forever, man. I'm still waiting for my refund. Wait for
your refund. And I was looking at it the other day, and I was like, man, was I luck? I was way too ahead of the curve, and I invested poorly in the customizer because I was told, we all were told, the customizer was the place to go. And I was looking at a video I made years ago with the same blue line that you get when you're in the Gutenberg editor when you go to put in a block. We built that same interface with a little icon tray that popped up just like Gutenberg. And I was just laughing to myself, like, man, I launched this way too soon. And I was, because I'm reflecting as I write my weekly dialogue, I'll talk about quickly at in the newsletter at thewpminute.com/subscribe. But luck is huge.
Can I bring up one thing that does concern me over all that? And I've been part of the problem, and I had a little chat with you when you last came on the round table show. And I admitted I made a couple of mistakes. I'm only human. We all make mistakes. It's learning from them, isn't it? But I think the thing that is that there's sub little communities in WordPress. There's little posses, as I call them. And, you know, passion is one of the great things. You wouldn't find the kind of passion that you get in WordPress that you would find at a Salesforce convention or HubSpot. You just ain't going to find the kind of passion and commitment. And that's really great, but it also has a dark side. You know, the dark side is really going after people personally. And there are some people in the WordPress community that I despise, that I think are shysters. I wouldn't trust them as far as I could throw them. My word has, I'm no saint, but my word, I try and keep my word. And I just verbally, or when I've written a contract in my own blood, I try and keep it. Where there's other people I've done business in WordPress, their word is worthless. Unless you got a blood contract from them, or you got the money up front, you might as well forget that their word doesn't mean nothing. But what has become is that you've got these little posses, and they're nasty. They go after people, and they go after people. I don't like this product. It's not my cup of tea. Fair enough. But they personally go after people, don't they?
There's a misconception. I don't have a great way to frame this, but because I fall victim to this too, there's a misconception of ownership in WordPress, where we feel like we all own this thing because it is open source, and we tout that, hey, it's open source. Anybody can take it, do anything you want with it. We can do anything we want. And while that's all true, I think that feeling of ownership can get us all into trouble, right? It creates those posses. It creates those pockets within the community where you're either a hardcore developer and you look at folks like me, and you're just like, here's this guy who talks about business. Get out of here. You and your podcast and your news, you know, your newsletter. That's foolish. I'm a developer and I'm committing stuff to core. That's not what WordPress is. What you do is not WordPress is.
I'll tell you one of the night, it's somebody on my experience. It's really shameful for me to admit this. I really didn't think anybody listened to my podcast. I didn't really think anybody took any notice of what I said. I know when I go to WordCamps, I'm always amazed people, you're Jonathan. I've been listening to your I don't think anybody listens. But no, there is quite a few people that do. But I until about 18 months ago, I didn't think I had any. Then I got into a bit of trouble with a certain posse in WordPress. And then I realized, oh, yeah, people really are listening to what you're saying. And if you rub them up the wrong way, they're going to hold it against you forever. They're gunning for you. You need to shut up, Jonathan, because what you think is just a bit of English sarcasm and a little bit of, in Britain, we like a good argument in the pub. We like a bit of banter. There's a lot of people, certain group of people in WordPress, that they don't like it. They're going to hold it against you forever.
How much impact do you think your content has on the community. Do you look at this as your way of contributing back, just the content? Let's just talk the WP Tonic. Like, do you see this as your way of giving back to the community?
No, not really. It would be easy for me to say that. It would be disingenuous. I just do it because I like podcasting and I like talking to people, basically. And I think I've always felt that about your interviews and your position. I think you've always wanted to be honest with your audience. And I've always felt that way as well. I'm sure some of the things I've said and my little English little comments have rubbed you up the wrong way. I'm sure so. But I'm not that vindictive. There's a couple of people that personally said things about me that I think had some element of truth to them, but were outrageous as also. And what's got me in private, they've said to me, well, we've publicly made these statements about you, Jonathan, and we know they're untrue, but we've done it because our audience expects us to say that. And there's one, I had to lose a couple of real, I thought were friends, and they just publicly slandered me. And they said, oh, we know it's untrue, but we did it because it's money, Jonathan. It's what our audience expected. And I find that nauseating. I would never do that. And I'm certainly no saint, but I would never do that. But it doesn't bother some people, does it?
The longer I podcast about WordPress, the more I realize why local news and journalism has been decimated by mainstream media, because there's a lot, and there's folks in the community who will reach out, but we were talking before we hit record, right? Both of our inboxes, I'm sure, are filled with products, plugins, themes, services. Hey, can you review my plugin? Can you do this on your YouTube video? Can you talk about this on your blog? Can we get a link over here? For free, without any compensation. The same goes for like community news. Hey, there's this big, heavy topic. You should be talking about this. And this will get into our talking about WordPress media. But I'm just the guy who talks about WordPress. Sure, for the last 11, 12 years. But this is not some media back. This is not WP Tavern owned and funded by Audrey Capital. This is me doing this on the side, trying to make it sustainable with sponsors. But this is not a day job. This is not a media empire. And oh, by the way, there's a donation link. And if you want to support me and folks like Jonathan, you should donate, sponsor, join the membership so that this can be a bigger thing like I've been trying to work towards and have been failing for the last 3 years because nobody sees the value in this kind of content. And that's the dilemma, I think. WordPress news is just not big enough. There's not enough interest. There's not enough eyeballs, but also seen as super important. And that's how I relate this to like local news. People hate the local news, at least in my area. They always make fun of the local news. They're never buying subscriptions. But then when there is some major story from a corrupt local government or something happening around the area, they say, where's the people writing about this? Well, you didn't invest in it, right?
I've accepted. I take sponsorship just to pay for the general running costs. I keep doing the show because it's in the WordPress space and I have a business in the WordPress space, so I get a certain degree of Google. It helps me with domain authority and my SEO strategies, but I've accepted. Also, unless you're in the education, it doesn't appeal. I know you made loads. I watched them. I learned from them. You did a really good job. I forgot. I watched some of your early videos where you had a partner. I forgot his name. When you did training videos?
Yeah, way back in the day with Dan when he worked for me at the studio.
Yeah, what's happened to Dan?
Dan is a project manager somewhere. I don't know. I haven't spoken to him in a while.
Oh, well. And you can do those videos and they can generate a lot of views on YouTube, can't they? Well, you must that's tricky in its own right, isn't it? Sure. The business side appeals to me a little bit more. And I just accepted you ain't going to get a large audience. And the only thing that annoys me, and I think it annoys you, is you get these people that say, oh, we've got no money. Or, and then they, it's obvious they have. They just don't want to spend it with you, which is their prerogative. But you wish that they just wouldn't give you this dribble that they ain't got no money.
They're just insulting your
intelligence, aren't they?
When I'm raising sponsorship money, for me, anyway, it's to reinvest back into the WP Minute, have more writers, have more editors for like podcast stuff, grow the media, and like really provide a product. Because again, I just spoke to somebody before we hopped on. They're launching a new product and they're like, hey, if you know a good way to how to get my name out there, I'd love to know it. Yeah. It's $79 a year at the WP Minute, and you join the Slack. I just promoted you by creating a free piece of content. And now, which would be great, is if you just return the favor and join the Slack group, $79 a year, and have that interaction. And yeah, it's quite challenging when, you know, folks say they don't have any money yet, like you were mentioning before, are going to drop tens of thousands of dollars to fly their even small team halfway around the world to, you know, WordCamp Asia.
Yeah, but it's also the consequence of affiliate marketing. And when I've got a sponsor, if they bring in their affiliate manager, I know the conversation isn't going to go well.
Yeah, it's done.
It's finished with. Because they want programmatic return on investment. They want to see $1 investment and get $5-$10 back. I don't know what platform. Maybe Facebook again with using artificial intelligence, because we run, on my other business, we run a lot of Facebook campaigns, and it's one of the reasons why Facebook shares have just rocketed, because even though I hate the founder with a passion. Well, I'll say that, I never met him. I don't know him as a human being. I just the public figure I don't like, put it that way. But the conversation isn't going to go well because of the dominance in WordPress. And it's not smaller companies. You can understand you've got to watch every dollar when you're a small business. But these are large players in the WordPress space, and they're just dominated by the affiliate side. And but they can spend tens, hundreds, the kind of money you can spend on Facebook and on Google Ads, the kind of money they're laying down, they're laying down real money every month, some of these WordPress businesses, aren't they?
Do you think that's just the nature of affiliate marketing, or is it a cultural thing with a lot of products in the WordPress space?
That's a difficult one, because we've got to be practical here. You've been in business. You've pulled the arrows out of your back. You're war-hardened like me. You've been there. You've done it, haven't you? So they've got to be practical.
Yeah.
It's just that they're so unsophisticated. You don't know, because they're going to WordPress Asia. You're not either. maybe we're just whinging. Maybe we just need to get on with it. Who knows? I don't know, do I?
So when you look at your sponsorship for the Tonic, let's just for the WP Tonic, you want to just get by with covering costs, right? You're not looking to.
You want to do a real professional, journalistic based enterprise, and I admire you. I don't actually want to. I just do a little chat show. I have people come on, and I take just getting some. I've had a few people sponsor me, and I'm very grateful for them. And I just got a new sponsor last week, and they've covered me for 6 months, and it just covers my costs. But I like the interviews. But the membership show started that a year ago, and it's around WordPress, but also membership. But that's what my main business is, one of my two businesses. And it's clear cut. I do it to promote my business. So I think that's much more clearer, isn't it? Mm. And my other podcast for my other business, it's about real estate marketing and digital marketing, and that's what my product offers. So it's clear cut, isn't it?
You switched to Gutenberg, Cadence, got away from Elementor. Yeah.
Well, we still supply it, and yeah. I wish Elementor, it's a great product. Yeah, sorry, I keep interrupting you.
Okay.
I'm not being rude. I'm sorry.
So you're back all in with the core WordPress experience, or close to it anyway, right? Because you're using Cadence. How did you feel coming out of the Mullenweg interview about the future of WordPress? Like, are you hyped about it? Your English, you're not going to get hyped, but how do you feel?
It's so true, isn't it?
How do you feel about it? Do you feel better?
I'm down, aren't I? I'm English down, but I've had some American friends say, we love you, Jonathan, but can you brighten up?
Yeah. As I side note, since we're talking about WordPress media, I don't know if you watch the... Oh God, now I'm going to forget the name off the top of my head. It's WP Cafe. It's the two guys from the UK. They have a booking plugin. Not a booking plugin, a job board plugin. Mark and...
I can't bother it all. I'm running two businesses, plus I do three podcasts. I can't keep up with it all.
I join in. They're two guys from the UK. I think it's WP Cafe. And... it's hilarious to me because those guys always seem like they just hate their job and they hate podcasting. And I'm like, and every time I have to remind myself, oh, you're just British. that's why you guys have this stigma of the approach to this stuff.
Well, you imagine living in a country where it rains eight months of the year, and like it's like Seattle for 7 months. What do you think it would happen to you?
So I work with one of my colleagues at Gravity Forms, Megan. I work with her on the marketing team. Fantastic. And she's in the UK. And I just have this desire to go to the UK and explore all of these cities. It seems fantastic. When I look at it from the outside, it just looks fantastic. Some of the other
still
day.
Is. It's amazing that a small country can have all these different accents. You can go from Manchester to Birmingham, which is less than 50 miles, and it will have a totally different way of speaking, mannerism. It's just amazing in the modern age that you can have all these dialects and different cultures and different landscapes in such a small country. It's quite amazing, really.
Yeah, and a lot of the cities and towns where I live, because I'm in New England, it's all Somerset, Swansea, Gloucester, Bristol. Those are all the towns around me. It's everything over there too. So I don't know, this natural affinity. Are you a Jeremy Clarkson fan?
I can't stand the geezer. I wish him well, but
that's exactly what Megan says to me.
I can't stand him. He's such a pompous prick. But there we go. He said some awful things about minorities. And
oh, did he? I didn't know that.
Oh yeah, he's got a. He's made a career, and he write. Don't wish him well. He's not done me any harm, but it's not my cup of tea.
Yeah, I just watched that Farming.
He's funny in some of his old. Used to watch Top Gear, and he was funny. As he got older, hopefully we get a bit mellow and we learn from life. He seemed to go the opposite direction, get worse.
So. Let me get back to Mullenweg and the core experience and how I'm going to frame this is because I feel like...
My interrogation. I got my tools of trade out.
I feel like we're set to have another gold rush in WordPress. Like, you uncovered that he said it was like a 10-year rebuild
I had no idea where that bloody one came from.
But do you feel like... Like, from the stuff that you're seeing as a business owner, talking to people constantly on podcasts, interviewing Mullenweg, do you feel like we're set to have something great in the next couple of years as a core experience?
It will not. It's a shame if it all goes pear-shaped. I just don't understand the geezer, but he's a complicated man. He's hugely successful. He's no idiot. He's much sharper than me. He handled me with ease, but I'm not a professional broadcaster, presenter. I'm just some geezer in Northern Nevada that does a little podcast. But I think I did my I think he was taken aback when I said, Kirk took the piss out of me, and he said, he keeps coming and says, "You infuriate me." And Matt does. He just infuriates me. He infuses. But what does he care? He's too busy counting the money, isn't he? Or going to Antarctica to talk to his king penguins. He's probably there right now on his sabbatical, isn't he?
No, he's in war camp. He's in war camp.
Who did he do that podcast in Antarctica?
Oh, I think it was probably with Tim Ferriss, who he's also with.
That was the biscuit, wasn't it? That was so like how the other half live. We're having a little chat in Antarctica. As you do, don't you, Matt?
As I do all the time. But do you feel like we're
See, that's the English sarcasm that gets me into so much bloody trouble, because it's hope Matt Berwick isn't like the Stalin version of, I hope he doesn't draw up a list.
No, I'm the only
a little line, because I must have a line around the block.
I'm the only WordPress podcast he doesn't listen to. Do you feel
he told me he only came on my show because the water cooler won't have him on. I thought, thanks, that's a great, that's my ego gone down the hill.
But do you feel like WordPress core is headed in the right direction?
Who knows? I don't think they know.
No.
I don't think they've got any idea what they're really doing, do you? I'm sorry, I don't get any. But, you know, I'm not, and maybe we ask too much, because, you know, let's look at it. A year ago, you know, unless you were in that Pacific field, and it did seem to be a bit of a dead end AI. It's been around since the 1950s, and it's come up and it's died down. And then, but nobody realised it's been building up in the background, but you had to be in that particular sector. And then with OpenAI, it looked like it just exploded. Mm. Who would have mapped that coming?
Mm.
So predicting the idea that they've got some long-term plan, maybe we're asking too much anyway. So I don't know, do I?
Yeah.
It seems the problem with WordPress, it's all smoke and mirrors. And I think it's part of Matt's psyche. I think he likes the dark arts in a way. He likes it that way. It seems that, I don't know if it's me. I don't know if I'm losing the plot of that. It seems a certain it's always been there, passive aggressiveness. Your emails are not answered and you're excluded from certain Slack channels and you're marked, rather than just say to your face, well, wish you well, but you're not my cup of tea. We didn't like what you said. Can we put our position? It's always been that kind of passive aggressive kind of... Look at Sarigate, as I call it. Everybody knew that being the marketing manager was a god-awful job and nobody should take it on. You've got to be crazy. It's just a godforsaken position and anybody with their right mind should run a mile from it, shouldn't they? But I don't understand why. And this need for automatic to make out is a... Because I don't really consider WordPress to be a truly open-source project. Never has been. It's a kind of quasar open source project, isn't it?
Because of the amount of automaticians that commit to core.
But on the other hand, that's good and bad, because if you didn't have all that money, that ought, as I pointed out to the great leader, as I call him, he's invested over $900 million, didn't he? Yeah, some of the most hardcore VCs of Silicon Valley. But without that money, WordPress wouldn't be where it is, because without all that, some of that money being poured in by all the engineers and all the people from Automatic, it wouldn't be where it would be, would it?
I've never bought in to the conspiracy that he, like Five for the Future and giving back to WordPress core, is just to move up the chain to WordPress.com into feed automatic. Do you feel like it's a quasi open source because potentially that's what's happening, or again, that it's just a lot of the direction of WordPress is decided by Automattic?
I have no freaking idea, because Matt is such, I really like Matt.
Yeah.
Honestly, he's a very charming person, isn't he? He really puts the charm on. And as we remarked, and Kurt was there, he got very animated before we went live, and he got very emotional. Unless he's a, if it was just a pure act, he's in the wrong business. He wants to become a Hollywood actor. Because it was a great, if it was all act, because he got very emotional and we were both surprised. And I quite like that. I just think this part of his character, just it's kind of deviant. And it's not surprising. He's a pretty sharp business type, isn't he? He must be, mustn't he, to get the kind of success that he's got. I think it's just part of him that likes it all smoke and mirrors, isn't it? He likes it all to be kind of unsure and nobody really knowing what's going on. I think it's part of his character that likes it, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think a lot of tech leaders, once they get to a certain level or pedigree in their business, that they take on some kind of other form, right? Like, you know, Elon, Bezos.
God, I'd rather have Matt Malwick than Elon 100%. Musk.
Right. And when, I've always said that. I've always said that Automattic is the best stewards for WordPress as right now anyway. But what about my theory of, let's say another tech company came in, say GoDaddy, that had a huge interest in WordPress and also had a bankroll that could bring in as many one automatician, one GoDaddy, that they could commit the same amount. I think that would be a challenge for Matt, because now you would have the same kind of influence Automattic has, but now coming from another corporation. Like if 100 automaticians showed up at a WordCamp to commit on Contributor Day and 100 GoDaddy developers showed up that same time, I think there'd be, I don't know, I don't think people would understand what they would do.
They're all wolves circling the carcass of WordPress, aren't they? They're all in the same pack, but the wolf pack is a hierarchy, aren't they? And they're all looking, can we boot the alpha wolf? And they're all in the same pack, but they're all competing around the carcass of WordPress, aren't they? That was a lovely vision, isn't it?
So now I know what the outlook of WordPress is for you.
I think it's open source, that what he uses it as a deflector and his shield. But it's true, it is open source. I think Elementor stood a chance until they fucked things up, didn't they? They kind of oscillate in and out of WordPress. They kind of seem to want to do their own cloud thing, and then they realized that it was the developers, and then so they become all chummy again and have all these meetups around WordPress meetings and that, whatever they're up to. And I think their old marketing director's come back, hasn't he? I think he's
Ben.
I think I saw that on my radar. He's come back. So it'd be interesting. And I think he wasn't, I don't think he was that happy with their efforts, was he? I think that kind of rubbed him up the wrong way.
I think you, a company that size, again, like when you look at Elementor, the rise to their fame and then raising some outside capital, which then dilutes that control over like where that company is going, but also at the same time, it's the same, like same issues with Automattic and what Matt is faced with, same thing Elementor is faced with, same thing you and I are faced with, not enough time, even with all the resources, it's just not enough time, not enough people to get this thing turned around in the direction we want to go. WooCommerce, perfect example of that, although on the face, any automatician, Matt included, will tell you everything's fine. But also knowing, like,
well, that's the part of WordPress that I don't, that, no, just not admitting the reality,
right?
Wanting this kind of, I don't know, maybe you can word it. What is it about? It's the kind of this necessity for everybody to be treated with any respect. They've got to be on message, haven't they? It's kind of North Korean kind of I don't know.
Yeah, I don't get it. Listen, I mean, it's not just automatic. Nobody really wants to talk bad about their employer. So there is that challenge of it. But I think it's just not enough people, not enough time. They've got the money, but they can't hire, train, and redirect the ship fast enough at Automatic and at Elementor. And that's what a lot of people face.
I think I know where you're coming. I just disagree with you there. I think it's just pure cultural. I just think it's the culture of Automatic and that. And I think that's very, if you're the head of it and you do, it's really hard to admit it. And they're pissing about with WooCommerce. It should be, could be something even better than it. Shopify. There's such a ton of money there, isn't there? And this 10-year thing with Gutenberg, oh my God. Just get it. Well, something like that is never done. And you got to be honest, he pointed it out to me. You got all the technical baggage. It must be horrendous. And I think you pointed that out when you came on the Roundtable show, seeing when they got a new update of core and what goes through the process. It's just must be mind-numbing. So I always want to give him, and I like Matt, and I want to give Automatic. And most of the Automatic people I've met have been extremely nice to me. It would be, which is horrible. It'd be so much not easier if they were horrible people. But they're not. They're all such nice people normally. I've had some nice discussions. They've always been nice to me. They've even given me some sponsorship money, and I was amazed at that. I just don't get it. Nobody's been able to explain it really coherently to me.
I've been spending some time talking to a couple people that I'm going to be featuring more on the podcast that started in WordPress through page builders. So Mark Szymanski, he's going to co-host a couple live streams with me. He got into WordPress a few years ago, got in through Elementor, younger guy, wanted to build websites, and he learned WordPress through Elementor, and that's all he knows. Mm-hmm. Like, he doesn't know WordPress like you and I. Like, when we started, we had to crack open a code editor, edit functions, PHP, we had to learn HTML, JavaScript, CSS.
I'm sweating now, you're getting me all hot and bothered.
That was the WordPress that we learned. He came in a much beautiful, much more cozy situation where he had a drag and drop builder. And a lot of the stuff he says to me is, he asks me about like the direction of WordPress and how to get involved and why are they making the decisions this way? And he sees WordPress as a product. Like, he sees it as, well, why aren't they making this product better? Why aren't they doing this with the product? But that's not how it comes together. It doesn't come together like a corporation of a product team, marketing team, sales team, C-suite team, and this thing gets shaped. It's shaped from core contributors. Yeah, a massive portion of them are automaticians, but it's not built as like a product-first thing. Don't you think if they made Gutenberg, the only way to get Gutenberg better and to make WooCommerce compete against Shopify is to just flatline the open source side of things, like get rid of the way that we know it? Like, that's the only way I could see them making that better, is to make it a more closed source approach.
I don't really technically know. I would hope not. I think there probably is a third way. I think I totally understand what you've just outlined, and I think there's always been a resistance about having, I think if you've got a Premier plugin, you should actually pay to have it checked over and get a kind of tick mark that it's been authorized. I think the free directory is fine, but it's got to be made clear that these are kind of, they haven't gone through an authorization. I think there's always amazed me, I think you've got the arrows to pull out, is that, like, you try to put some themes through, didn't you? And I remember listening to your part. You said I think you would rather go to a dentist than have all your teeth removed to go through that process, okay?
When I submitted my theme.
Any kind of crappy plugin, it seems you can throw it in and be on 100,000 websites. I never really understood that one myself. Yeah. No one's ever been able to explain that contradiction to me.
Well, it's again, it's this weird setup that we have, right? It's you can't do it in any other technical platform, Apple, Microsoft, Google. There's no open source channels. You don't see how the bread is made. And yeah, when you submit a theme like I did 12 years ago, and it's called Journal, is the title, because you're journaling. I mean, it was a pretty straightforward thing. And it was denied because the word was too generic, yet there was a theme called paper.
I just would have loved to be in the office when you got the message it'd been denied. I bet the language was interesting, wasn't it?
It's water under the bridge, because the guy who denied me was Otto, and I bought him a beer when I was at work.
Oh, good old Otto. I love Otto. He's such a nice person. I never met him, but Kirk is, and he seems to be, I call him the Grand Sid of WordPress, Grand Lord. He seems to like that title. He DM'd me and said, I take that as a sign.
I want to close it out by talking about contributing back to this. You feel like you don't necessarily do it with the Tonic. I feel like I do it with my media. But where do you see folks who are not developers giving back to WordPress? Because there's definitely some characters out there lately who are selling their own products and services who just totally put WordPress down. But if it wasn't for WordPress, they wouldn't be able to sell their products.
Are you talking about Kevin?
Well, I'll let you fill in the blanks.
Go on. Are you talking about Kevin?
So how does one give back?
Yeah, you're not going to answer that, are you, mate? I don't hold it against him, actually. We're all selling our book of business to some degree. It's about how we do it. No, Kevin, he's been on my show twice. I watch a few of his videos. He's very passionate. He's got his way of wanting things, and he does support. He will give his due. He will go on the show and he'll take heat and he will just sit there and respond in a certain logical way. I thought some of the criticism when he did that video where to me, and I was a developer for a period of time, seemed to me to be a lower intermediate layout, and you really couldn't do that layout in native Gutenberg, and we're 6 years into the project. You know, I think he was, I won't say right, but I think what he was pointing out, I think a lot of us knew that, and the response he got and the absolute bonker response that he got from that, it was truly amazing to watch. And a certain group of WordPress developer types lost the plot, basically. But it doesn't mean that I agree with every word that Kevin comes out of his mouth, because I don't agree with most of what comes out of my own mouth, let alone somebody else's.
Kevin's one example. I mean, there's many, and we've seen these examples over and over again for the last 20 years, right? Starting with Chris Pearson at Thesis Theme, right? It's the same thing. It's like this thing here is better, different. Why doesn't WordPress do it this way? And then we saw that on Repage Lines, Vada Theme, and then Elementor, Beaver Builder. Like, there was always something popping up that was like, this is the best thing right now, and everyone's crazy for not using it this way, and why doesn't WordPress catch up? We've just seen this story a dozen times already.
But nobody would answer. I'd expect an intermediate layout to be achievable in native WordPress 6 years in. I do not expect that you need to add custom CSS. I do not expect that you've got to go in and do a custom plugin. I do not expect that you need to go into a JSON file and start knocking it away. I expect a basic intermediate layout to be achievable in native Gutenberg. And until somebody can give me a yes, and I've asked a few people and I've asked them on my podcast and I haven't got answer about that. Well, you just need to add plugins. You need to do this, the other. I just don't expect that. And you can say you're wrong, Jonathan, and I'm fine with it. It's just my opinion. So that's why I asked him on, because I thought it was just hilarious. But I was well aware of Kevin's, and I've said it in front of him on when I've interviewed him. You got your book of business, you're pushing it. I wish him well. I don't get all work. I think people need to get some balance in their life. This ain't the Ukraine. I've got friends fighting in the Ukraine with the Ukrainian Foreign Legion. They're putting their lives. I've financially supported. What? Well, that's real life. This isn't. This is just. Yeah, it's money. There's big money in WordPress, and I think that's what brings out. I think that this is what this is really about, isn't it? This is why Kevin and that's why he rubbed up. There's big money at play. There's a lot of money in WordPress. There's a lot of readies that can be, and it brings the worst out of people, doesn't it?
At the very least, it's folks' livelihoods, right? I mean, even if it's whether they're going after like a big trying to build a page builder thing, and or just hey, I'm just trying to build websites for people. That's I think a lot of the issue here is why it's I feel like we have to be very careful when we think ownership of WordPress. I don't know another way to put it. It's almost like a spiritual thing. like I don't think anyone owns it, but it exists. And if we give back to it, it continues to exist. But we know that we can't go all in on feeling like we own this because that's where the chaos comes from. So just give back to it, know that it exists, take your piece of it and move on and do what you can with it.
Yeah, but for all its frustrations and problems, it's still a quasi open source. The fundamental core is open source. The reason why I say it's quasar is that I understand. I never really, until he wants to totally give it up, I actually don't want Matt Mayerweg not to be part of WordPress. I think some of his responses, there was a power dynamics about his Twitter, whatever it's called, X. It always will be Twitter, far as I'm concerned. I think some of his responses were not even beneficial to him, and he's always had this little tendency to get a little bit sharp with the elbows and sharp at the if you're him taking on. And he said, I thought that was interesting. He said, I regret what I said about GoDaddy. Well, I'm not bothered because it's GoDaddy, they can look after themselves, as far as I'm concerned,
right?
It's when he uses his sharp elbow on somebody, and some of these people who's used it, I don't even like. They're not being very fair towards me. They think I don't know. They've gone on Slack channels and they called me a racist. If I had the money, I'd go after them. I'd go after them legally, but I haven't got the money and I haven't got the time. So these people, I've got no time for them anyway. But I still don't like it because of the power dynamics. He goes after them, and they're just individuals. But I thought that was interesting. He brings it up with the GoDaddy. Well, I think GoDaddy can look after themselves.
Yeah, I agree. It's when you go after the individuals, and that's again. I'm 100% with you. I don't really want anybody steering the ship other than him and Automatic right now. We talked about this on your podcast. The worst thing that could happen is having a committee that we all had to report to.
Yeah, but kind of. But I'm a believer. I think this is the next thing. I might be wrong. I just think in the next 50, 20, 30 years, the only bleaching agent to corruption is democracy. And I think... I just think as open, you don't need a committee. You just need somebody to be voted in and them to have a period of time, he or she or he or whoever, needs a period of time where they're running things. But periodically, they are brought in front of the bleaching agent of a democratic process.
Yeah, I agree with that. It would be wonderful, but also extremely difficult to create. And
But I think as a leader, and he's a great, he is a really interesting person. And like all people, he's not black and white. He's not a saint, but he's not the devil. We're all the same. We've all got good and evil in us. We're all mishmashed.
Yeah.
It's only the psychopaths and the sociopaths. They don't care. The rest of us, it's always an ongoing thing in us, isn't it? He's no different. You know, people say, oh, he's the devil. Other people say, oh, I love him. He's just a person, better. But I just don't – he just needs the insight to clean the act up and bring some governance in it. And I know he leans to the darks, the smoke room, whatever. I think he just likes it a bit. He just needs to clean – he just needs to give a bit. But that's his business, isn't it? He's not going to listen to me, is he?
Yeah, I think the general interest. I mean, as one would probably have, like if you built something this sprawling and important across the web, and then, oh, by the way, you have like 12 other products that is under the automatic umbrella, and you feel like I can do it all. Like you get to this point where you're so well-read, so well-trained, you have a different level of feedback loops than the normal business owner has when you get to that stage where you're like, yeah, I can do this, man. I can take some mushrooms and go to Burning Man with my buddy Tim Ferriss. And I've had an experience that says I can run 12 different products across the automatic empire, and including Tumblr. And that's the part I think he's really challenged with. He shouldn't. And yeah, the public outburst things kind of brought him down a notch for me in terms of leadership. Man, probably not feeling that great about it anymore. Let's maybe build an off ramp to building some leadership and some governance. One or two sergeants or lieutenants you want to put in place. Not going to happen.
No? Oh, well, there we go. We have to. But WordPress moves on, doesn't it?
It does.
I've got to go. I've taken up too much of your time, Matt. But I have to come back. I've really enjoyed this chat. Hopefully you have.
Hour and 10 minutes. You broke a new record.
Yeah.
Jonathan Denwood, WP Tonic.
I just want to say I really, you've done a fantastic job in your podcasting career. And I've listened to a lot of your interviews and you've done a really great job, Matt.
I appreciate that, Jonathan. You too, my friend. That's it for today's episode. Get the weekly newsletter at thewpminute.com/subscribe. Want to support the show and join a Slack group filled with WordPress professionals like you? Talk about the news, share your WordPress business content, and network with others. Head to thewpminute.com/support and get access to our group. Support the show for as little as $5 or more if you feel we provided more value. Thanks to our pillar sponsors, Pressable, Bluehost, and OmniSend. Thanks to our Foundation Plus sponsors, WP World, Image SEO, and Hostinger. Thanks to all of our annual supporting members and you, the listener. Without your support, the WP Minute wouldn't be possible. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.